For us, that at Passover, when Passover is celebrated, a little bit of wine is poured out, and it's in remembrance of the Egyptians who perished, recognizing that even when God has to come to our rescue, even when it means that someone else is not flourish, that we still remember the loss of life or the loss of that person contributing to the common good of our world. So remember that image as we hear the word of the Lord together. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 1853, a book was published with a curiously long title, Miriam's Timbrel, or Sacred Songs, Suited to Revival Occasions, and also for Anti-Slavery, Peace, Temperance, and Reform Meetings. It was a Wesleyan hymnal, and its compiler, John Betker, wrote these words in the preface. Very few of the spiritual songbooks now before the public sympathize with the practical reformations going on to improve the social and moral condition of human society. It is believed this deficiency is met in this little volume. Then Betker quotes the song of Miriam that we just sang together. It's the song that many believe is the oldest poem in the Hebrew Bible, an ancient song sung by generations of people who have found themselves standing on the edge of the sea, nowhere to go, facing death and extinction. And then God shows up. And then Miriam answered, we read in the book that quotes the King James Version, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." This is the first time in the Hebrew Bible that anyone offers praise to God. The first time that people lift their voices in worship. This was the first time, but it has been that way ever since. Voices lifting songs of liberation that emerge as sighs and groans. The songs of pain and sorrow being released in celebration and joy and relief. In 1853, as black enslaved peoples struggled alongside white abolitionists for their freedom to be free at last, they gathered in churches and they sang songs from Miriam's Timbrel. We will speak out, we will be heard. Though all earth's systems crack, we will not bait a single word nor take a letter back. We speak the truth, and what care we for hissing and for scorn, while some faint gleaming we can see of freedom's coming morn. Let liars fear, let cowards shrink, let traitors run away. Whatever we have dared to think, that dare we also say. Perhaps if we try, if we let our imaginations run free, we can see another tragedy unfolding. Perhaps you can see a wall before you. You've escaped across the desert, atop a train slicing the night, hidden by a coyote. All along, you wondered if you were being led to freedom or to slavery on a farm or in a restaurant or a hotel. But what else could you do? You long for the home you once knew, a home now teeming with gangs or drug lords, with threats to your children, the gangs coming for your children, the poverty, no jobs, and NAFTA and the politics always changing. And you scraped together enough for a bribe and a ride on a truck, and your child is tucked into your body, hungry and hungry for a new life. And you are hungry not to be afraid. And you are ready to work. And you are afraid of the slavery of your future and your past, the enslavement of fear, of lack, of violence, of want. And you've come a long way through heat and the temperature in the desert dipping in the night, and your feet ache. And then you come to a wall, and they tell you to go home. But you have no home, and you wonder how you will be saved. Before attacking schools in Pakistan, the Taliban send kafan, a white cloth that marks Muslim burials, as a form of psychological terror. Fatima Ashgar for Peshawar, December 6, 2014. From the moment our babies are born, are we meant to lower them into the ground? To dress them in white. They send flowers before guns, thorns plucked from stem. Every year I manage to live on this earth, I collect more questions than answers. In my dreams, the children are alive at school. In my dreams, they still play. I wish them a mundane life, arguments with parents, groundings, chasing a budding love around the playground, iced mango slices in a hot summer. A life, alive, I promise. I didn't know I needed to worry about them until they were gone. My uncle gifts me his earliest memory, a parking lot full of corpses. No kafan to hide their eyes, no white to return to the ground. In all our family histories, one wrong turn and then death, violence. Not an over there, but a memory lurking in our blood, waiting to rise. We know this from our nest, the bad men wanting to end us. Every year we call them something new, British, Sikhs, Hindus, Indians, Americans, terrorists. The dirge, our heart pounds vicious as we prepare the white linen ready to wrap our bodies. Hear the words of Exodus 15, the Song of the Sea. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he cast them into the sea. He picked officers, were sunk into the Red Sea. The floods covered them, and they went down into the depths like stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew our adversaries. You sent out your fury, and it consumed them like stubble. The blast of your nostrils, the water piled up. The floods stood in a heap. The deep congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, and the sea covered them. They sank into the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. It isn't unusual for people who have found their backs to the sea, their enemies approaching with... Oh gosh. I'll try that again. It isn't unusual for people who found their backs to the sea, with their enemies approaching with state-of-the-art weapons of destruction, to take refuge in the story of Exodus. In God coming down as a liberator, setting captives free. Mahalia Jackson was born in 1911 in the depths of Jim Crow in New Orleans. After dropping out of school in the fourth grade to support her family, she joined the Great Migration North to the promise of better housing and jobs in Chicago. It was there that Jackson joined the Greater Salem Baptist Church Choir, touring around the country in the mid-1930s. Everywhere she went, Jackson felt the scourge of racial hatred. But in 1956, Jackson met a young Reverend Ralph Abernathy, who recruited her to come to Montgomery, Alabama, to join the bus boycott. Alongside another young preacher named Reverend Dr. King, she joined the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Wherever she went, Jackson would sing. She knew victory was coming because it had come before. She knew God was in the movement, working within them towards liberation, crossing over the people of God, delivering them from their captors. One night, Jackson was riding with friends in a Cadillac through Atlanta, Georgia, when they were besieged by a mob of angry white men. The men were outraged that a black woman in the South would be driving such a nice car. But they were rescued when another woman in the car feigned demon possession shouting incantations at the men who fled in terror. A song that evokes the miraculous and creative intervention of God through people, referencing the saving of the Hebrews from slaughter, was born that night. Miriam is the heir. Oh, goodness. Miriam is the Aramaic version of the name Mary, a name shared with Mary, the mother of God. God made flesh within her flesh, bone knit together in her womb. Miriam's song and Mary's song echo one another. Their songs rise up from all the places from our world where tyrants rule. Their voices are the tambourines and the timbrels, the shouts declaring the end of all pharaohs, the end of all slaveries, the end of all tyrannies. I have wondered about each of you this week, and I prayed for you. I prayed for our world. I whispered Mary's song and Miriam's song under my breath. This was my song of my tears and my anger. I've wondered about you, if this was just another week, or if terror crept near to your door, if you felt the sea at your back, as memories like tanks or chariots or drones came rumbling into view. I wondered about you, as every day I lifted up this song for you, for those who are not believed, and for those who are silenced, those who bear memories of terror never spoken, those who remembered. In a moment, I'd like to invite you to light a candle. You may light it for yourself, for your fear, or for your anger. Or you might light it for someone else. And you may want to take some time to pray. I want to invite you to come forward as we listen to one final piece of music, the Magnificat. But first, I want you to hear the words that will be sung, the words of Mary echoing back the words of Miriam's song by the sea. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their throne and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever.
Thank you.